morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning as we start into our summer routine. Just look at Jay. He's all ready to roll. You got one for every week, right?
You got yours coming.
Yeah, okay. Well, we would like to start out with a few announcements here. The first one is the flowers. The flowers this morning are from Ruth Johnson in memory of her sister, Alice Bradley Lampert. Thank you. And we have a couple of other announcements. Well, I'll let open it up because I'm sure I'll repeat. Lisa had one to start.
Next week is going to be a sad, hard day for a lot of us who are going to miss the Ewer family. They're moving to New Hampshire. It's about a three-hour drive, but they said they promised they'd be back a lot. But next week, we're going to give them a beautiful framed photo print of our church. And if some of you can't be here next week to say a fond farewell, maybe you want to jot a little note and you can leave it or drop a card or something off, just so they know how well loved they are, and to send them off with a loving send-off. And if since I'm standing here, I might as well tell you that Tuesday night, Peg is going to be teaching us wet felting. Now, there's a long list in the bulletin. If you don't have that stuff or don't feel like searching for it, just come. If you don't have money, just come. If you're bored that morning, just night. 6:30. Come. And just look over people's shoulders and see what it is we're doing. It'll be a wonderful time of fun and fellowship and crafts.
Yeah, cool. Wet felting?
Yes. Gary, you're invited.
Is that well as wet as an Elmer's glue?
No.
Well, as water and soap.
Oh, okay. Kathy,
turning wool into something beautiful.
Great. Kathy, you got to top that.
Yeah, well, I can't top it.
Great, thank you. Does anyone else have anything? Yep.
So this Sunday, we're having our first VBS night here at church from 5 to 7. Any kids entering K through 6 are welcome to come. Registration will start at 4:45. We are looking for a couple of more volunteers who need some help in our games department. So if you guys, anyone here is interested, would you please see me when you contact us?
Great. Come on in. Got room up front. Got a couple more announcements. So one is Godspell, August 5th. Sign up. The tickets are $15, $10, and $5. And their sign-up sheet is over there. And I'm sure there's going to be a van or a bus or a group of people going. So talk to Pastor Tim if you have any questions. Bringing up Pastor Tim, he will be away. He will be this weekend. He'll be in Chicago, and he'll be back on Saturday. The last thing I wanted to mention here today is a message from Trish to share with you all. Would like a thinking of everyone and thank everyone for their cards. Everyone's love and support has truly overwhelmed me. If you would like the latest update, her insurance company at Gaylordsville is asking that she be switched to a sub-facility nursing home for a week. She's going to find out Monday if she's going to be able to stay there or not. She's praying that she is going to be able to stay there. And she says, thank you for the love and prayers, and she hopes to be able to stay there hopefully learn the skills she needs to be able to be home directly July 17th. So keep our prayers up for Trish. Does anyone have anything else they would like to share this morning? I do. Our introit is on the insert, not on the back of the bulletin. Let us stand.
The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he has done.
No one is holy like the Lord. None like him. No protector like our God.
Stop your loud boasting. Silence your proud words. For the Lord is a God who knows. And he judges all people, all that people do. Strong soldiers are broken, but the weak are strong. He makes some people poor and others rich.
He lifts the poor from the dust and raises the needy from their misery.
He makes them companions of princes and puts them in places of honor.
The foundations of the earth belong to the Lord. On them he has built the world.
Join us in a mighty fortress.
Mighty fortress is our God. All the work never fails. Failing,
you're still our ancient foe. Don't seek to work us woe. His wrath and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Our
Heavenly Father, we praise you that your kingdom is forever, that you are sovereign, you are high and lifted up, our one and only God. We worship you, we adore you, we run to you. A mighty fortress you are, and you shelter us under the shadow of your wing. You protect us. And Lord, we come before you. We want to be encouraged in our worship, to be stirred in our hearts, to be more free in our worship, to hear your word, for you are speaking, Lord. Oh, we love you. We need you. The world needs you. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill us to overflowing. And join us together as your one church, even now as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first lesson today comes from the Old Testament in the 1 Samuel. And you can see in your bulletin, we're going to skip around just a little bit, but it is one continuous story. Let's hear about David and Goliath. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damon between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale, armor of bronze, weighing 126 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a fence rail, and its wrought iron point weighed 15 pounds alone. His shield bearer went on ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. And if he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Early the next morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Our next lesson is out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly master with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Glory be to the Father.
Kids, come on up. Come on, kids. Come on up.
Okay. You guys have been in a Sunday school for a while, and I bet you could tell everybody here about all of this. So this is a Roman soldier, more or less. He's sort of He was chained between two guards at all times, so Paul got a good view of what the armor of God was. I do have a suit of armor. I'm sorry I didn't bring it because someone who shall remain nameless ran off with the sword and refuses to give it back to me, even though he said, yes, I have it, and no, you can't. So, I have to do a deeper search to find what he has done with it. But anyway, I have my bear who is already dressed. Now, the one thing when we put on this armor, to always remember what we're putting on is Jesus Christ. So we have to put on our belt of truth, which is whose truth? That Jesus is truth. And his righteousness, we have to put that on. I think of this when I get dressed in the morning. So, and then we have to put on our socks and shoes, be ready so we can run and go wherever we need to go. And then we have our shield of faith that has to be ready, and the sword. But what is the sword? The sword is the word of God. Yeah, that's right. Just so I always remember that, I have these wonderful stickers. In fact, so just so I remember that. So it's good to remember that. And then I think someone asked, how come the hat goes on last? Well, have you ever tried to put on shoes if you have your hat on? No, it's not going to work too well. And on top of that, you have the visor that could come down, and you're not going to see anything. So better to have that all up and ready to go, so the hat's the last thing you're putting on as you go out the door.
And also, it's hard to put on your shirt with the hat on.
That's right. You can't put your shirt on with the hat on. Good job. All right, so there we are. And I have this for you. These are necklaces. You probably do not want one, do you, sir?
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Here you are. Do not put these together in church because they're small little things. And then there's a quiz for you because I have one right here. What's missing?
The head.
That's right, the helmet. That's right. I have to write to them. So, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for these kids. And thank you that you have us ready, because we just need to put on you to remember to have your truth, your righteousness, your gospel of peace, to know who we are in Jesus Christ, to go forth with your word and with our shield of faith for all those darts that Satan likes to throw at us. So we thank you for these kids. Bless them as they go forth. In your name we pray. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Good job.
No. I'll pray first. Ooh. Must have thought you were going to be talking, Jay. Now's our time to lift up to God our joys, our concerns, our prayers. So do you bow in prayer with me, please? Father God, good morning. As we start to slip into our routines of our summer lives, Lord, there's so many things jump out and claim our attention. We worked hard this year to earn a little bit of rest and recreation, to break away from the stresses of this thing called COVID. It's interrupted our everyday living. But in the midst of all this change, we start to focus too much on our physical needs and our own selves, and we neglect our spiritual hunger and our thirst. Forgive us, Lord, it is so easy to focus on ourselves and to forget about others. Help us to celebrate this day. Help us to remember all the wonderful things that you do and continue to do for us. But help us to continue to remember those of our church and those that are in need of prayer, those who need our thoughts and our cards and our visits. Help us to not look up and find out that it's already September. Father God, we lift up the condo collapse in Florida and all that those people are going through, Lord. We just pray that you comfort them all and guide them through this. Father, there's heat waves, there's wildfires that are affecting the West, there's flooding. Lord, by the way, can you pause the rain a little bit here? We need to dry out. Father God, there's assassinations in Haiti. So thought we were past some of that stuff. But Lord, be with that affected. Be with that country. Be with all that that curtails and going forward. Keep us grounded in dealing with all of this in our lives. This morning, Father, we lift up before you for continued healing, Linda Hansen. It's great to see her here today. There's so much that she's going through. There's so much that others are going through. Father, we lift up Tricia, Linda Campbell, Ted Ryan. We lift up Millie. We lift up Robert Morton. Lord, we pray for the Anna Coley's and the LePants and Art Pugh and Carol Stratman and Chip Gill, those who can't be with us today. Help us to think during the week to give them a call or send them a card or pray for them, Father. Be with us in the summer days as they come ahead. Lift it up now for anyone who has someone I may have missed. Father God, so many prayers we lift up to you silently, Lord. We pray that you hear them all. We pray to you, Father, for our personal guidance in dealing with all of the situations and problems and struggles that each of us have that we keep silent within us. We lift them all up to you, Father. We pray that you touch us with answers, help, calmness, strength to deal with these things. Father, we lift up the soldiers who commit suicide because they can't deal with what they've lived through anymore. Father, we pray for answers. Not only do we pray you be with them, we pray for answers to help cure that problem, Lord. And Father God, as we prepare to head off the summer, guide us through our vacations, our get-togethers, our celebrations. Help us to remember those who aren't going on vacations or get-togethers. And all the while, prepare us, Father, prepare us for your ministry and your mission when we come back in September. Father, you have plans for us, and we lift them all up before you in praise and thank you. It's in your holy name that we pray today. Amen. Let us stand now for our insert song.
Yes.
Well, thank God for worship and gathering. Just time to focus on the Lord and give Him praise and worship. And because this past year and a half has been beyond belief. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about it a lot. It's hit a lot, all of us, and no one has been unaffected. You know, challenges, isolation, separation, shutdowns, mandates, closures, quarantines, you can name them all too. It has been a time of serious testing. You know, we've all been tested, and hopefully we're making it through that test. We've had failures, we've had victories. It all needs to be a matter of perspective, though, going forward. What kind of a perspective do we have? Do we have the strategy, the tactic that God would want us to have? Or do we have something else? Because on any given day, we feel it ourselves, or we encounter people along the way with this sense of foreboding. You know, just that feeling that something is going to happen bad. You know, have you felt that? I mean, any given day, it can creep in on all of us. You know, waiting for that other shoe to drop. It's like, oh. You know, the other night, the middle of the night, the boop, the electrician went, oh, no. Remember that, honey? But then the power didn't go out. I thought, well, we'll just wait. Oh, here it is. You know, oh, here it is. That sense of foreboding. Yet, at our best, as people of faith, Christians, we are expectant. You know, we are so positive and filled. Our spiritual eyes are open. We look to what God is doing and where we can jump in. You know, where we can help out. We look to God. We know that He will intervene. We can leave a lot in His hands. All the battles we're usually bad, we can leave it in His hands. It's His battle. At our best. I mean, this time is going to go down in history. This is one of the most amazing times to be alive. Nothing like this has ever happened before, so what's coming next must be even greater. I mean, we've got to believe that. The third great awakening. God is working. He's accomplishing His will. His great rescue mission is going on. We talk about the children. Not going to talk about that today. The Operation Underground and the voice of the sound of freedom that's coming out, there's going to be such rescue. There's already been, and there's going to be such judgment and vindication too. Just wait and watch. Young David in 1 Samuel 17, we probably wondered, why did Lisa stop reading? That was my fault. We're going to get there. But a shepherd boy, he gives Saul and the army, his brothers and the Israelite army, a new perspective. Something maybe they forgot, something maybe they never knew. They never were taught. I mean, King Saul, we knew that he was his own king, his own God, going his own way. He had good times, but he just didn't trust God enough. God was not on his side. But Goliath had been taunting the army for 40 days. The three brothers are there, his older brothers, the soldiers, Saul, they're cowering, they're fearful, they're terrified. The sense of foreboding, oh, this giant, he's one man, a giant man. But then David asks a question. Well, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, he's a young boy, so he's, you know, maybe he doesn't get it all, or, you know, yeah, sure, kid. No, he got it. That's exactly right. A wake-up call. David's eyes are open. He's ready for combat. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. He knows the scriptures. He knows God's provision. He knows God's promises and protection. He knows who he stands with. He knows who stands with him and is the Lord God Almighty. And God has already given them the victory. That's the way that David rolled, protecting the sheep. No animal's going to come against my flock. You know, I'll take him out. I will fight him. And then eventually he runs at Goliath in the mighty name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. He was victorious. How can we align ourselves with that kind of perspective? You know, that kind of strategy, that kind of tactic for the things that we're facing in our world, in our lives. What's the best way that we can prepare? You know, there is an arch enemy waging war against us, Christ Church, capital C, to divide, deceive, to fill minds with offense, and to destroy Christ Church, to destroy this country. His strategy has been to bring great fear and panic. It's been working for a while, but I think we see it now. Because God is the creator. The devil, the enemy, he's a creation. God is creator. The only power the enemy has is that which unbelief gives him. It's like taking off the helmet for the battle. Keep that helmet on. Never be deceived. And we will see God move. We will see God bring prodigals home. You know, those who've been praying for, sisters and brothers, neighbors, God is going to bring them home as his kingdom advances, breaking demonic strongholds, felling giants, amen. And I love that the bags that Kathy was talking about, it's a battle plan for the take down the giants, or a reminder of that, that God is taking down. That's awesome. That's God speaking today. Make those bags. Helping those girls. Yes, the enemy's already defeated. One day will be destroyed. We hold on to that. Render him powerless, like in the mighty fortress is our God. One little word shall fell him. Why do we give him so much power? So the strategy, God supplies us with spiritual armor. Jamie, did you show everybody your shirt? Because you were facing this way. Stand up and turn around and show everybody your... She's got the full armor of God on her shirt.
Amazon.
But Charlie's got the sword.
Yeah, Charlie got the sword.
We got that. We can withstand anything that the enemy brings at us. We really can. We just have to know whose we are and where we stand. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 14... It lays out the means of achieving this victory, you know, taking on this new perspective, the strategy, the tactic. It also gives the purpose why, and it also gives the explanation of the problem. It's 10 through 14. First, there's a heading. Verse 10 is like the heading, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. There it is right there. That's the heading of it all. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then the method, put on the full armor of God. You know? Put on the full armor of God. We'll look at that. And the purpose, so you can stand against the devil's schemes. You know, so we can stand against the devil's schemes. How many of us have been stirred this week and even felt attacked? Like, what is going on? I don't want to be in a battle with that person. That's my wife. No. I'm half kidding, but it led to a time of personal repentance this week. The enemy was not going to win this, and I was set free in Jesus' name. So I believe in that. So that's the purpose, but the problem for our struggle is against the world forces of darkness or of evil, you know, the evil systems, but the spiritual forces of evil. That's our struggle. It's not against a husband, a wife, a neighbor, a friend, a brother, a sister. No. It's against spiritual forces of evil. Then Paul repeats it, verse 13. Put on the full armor of God, in case they forgot, so you may stand. And then how many times did Lisa read stand? That's the call to commitment. Stand, 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 stand. And then we'll look more at that. Well, we're not going to look at all the armor. That would take quite a long time. A lot of people have studied that, and it's very exciting and good. But there's three commands, three imperative commands, like military sense, you know, drill sergeant. The three imperatives dominate the passage. Be strong, put on the full armor of God, and stand. Everything else is explanatory. All right? And then verses 14 through 17, that gives the armor, that's the more all-embracing means, you know, the gifts of God, what he has given us that we can stand in. The belt of truth around our waist, or in other versions, gird yourself. And there's that readiness. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness, shod with the, our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Taking up the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We know it's not military battle. But like in Ephesians, they saw the Roman soldiers all around them. And I like what you said to the kids. Paul, who wrote this, he was in prison, chained between two or one. You know, there was right there, constant. That's quite a visual. The imagery is used to strengthen what God has given us. He's given us his truth, God's truth. He's given us our righteousness and the right way of living, the gospel of peace. And faith and salvation and the word of God, what these mean to us, to strengthen what this means for us. Jesus didn't die for us just to be running away from the enemy. God has given us so much. They are gifts meant to empower us for living the Christ life, to never give up, to never bow down to any world powers, or never retreat in fear. So let us take to heart the three imperatives Paul gives. And these are for the universal church. It's not singular, it's plural. You know, we can think of this, oh yeah, I got to pray this through every day and do that. But it's meant for the body of Christ, the universal church. It's time for the church in the region, in this area, this region, to put on the full armor of God. We'll talk more about that in days ahead. We need to understand the source of our strength so we can understand the force that God wants to have in us and in and through his church. So be strong, number one. And again, that's that heading, be strong in the Lord and the might of his power. There's three words for power in that one verse, all connected to dunamis, like dynamite in a certain way. So be strong, the first of the three. That means strengthen with ability. And certain words in the Greek end with a double O, so that means something, not just the strength, but proven to be so. It really, boy, that is strong. It's proven to be so. Like Abraham, he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. What did he wait, 20, 24 years, he and Sarai, to have a baby? And they had Isaac, he grew up a little bit, and God said, okay, sacrifice him. And he was obedient. He said, okay, I'm going to sacrifice him. But God rescued Isaac, and it was proven to be righteous, you know, righteousness. Abraham showed God something there. You know, it showed up in his life. Hebrews, doesn't it say that, well, he believed that God could raise the dead. He had great faith. So a righteousness put on display. Be strong, be made able in such a way that it is demonstrated, proven out, shown forth, put on display, not idle. Church, we are strong in the Lord. We are not to be idle. And that's not to overlord people, but it's to help us be pure and holy and bold in faith. And so the second word under be strong is strength. That's the strength of the Lord, the outward manifestation of God's power, that which determines his dominion. And thirdly, might. That's God's preeminence, his incomparability. He is the victor, the warrior, the winner. He lives in you, and he wants to be in his church, to be alive in his church. So that's be strong. Put on the full armor of God. And this is an urgent command also. Do it. Do it now. It's critical. It's up to you. By faith, it's up to you. It's up to us. You know, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the garment of Ephesians 4. You know, put on the new self. Put on Christ. Janie mentioned that to the kids this morning. The armor of Ephesians 6. Isn't it the same thing? Yes, that's right, it is. It's the same word for put on in both passages. But Ephesians 6, Paul is bringing it into a different light. Yes, be renewed in your mind. Put on the new self. Put on Christ. Speak the truth in love. Be united, but also battle, standing your ground in Christ, in truth. Ultimately, we're dealing with our minds here. The battlefield of the mind. Famous title and words. We hear that a lot. Surrendered lives, not caught off by schemes and trickery. And it is the full armor of God, not just a piece. It's God's armor, his strength, his might. Put it on now. Put it on now. Urgent. And thirdly, and this is the longer one, stand firm. You know, be strong in the Lord. Take up the full armor. And then retreat. No. Stand. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm going to stand. And standing firm is not perfection, right? It's consistency. You know, we do on a daily basis. It's not perfection. It's consistency. When we fall, then we repent and return. Again, it's a command. Stand firm. Do it now. And we know warfare in our day, right? But what about Ephesians 1, back to the introduction, that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. It's a wonderful prayer and praise. Go back there often. But Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, that's where our primary focus needs to be. Where we stand with Jesus seated above all rule and authority, with all power and dominion. By faith we are raised with him, we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. That is our perspective, that is our position of power and authority. Not to be overlords, but that we can stand, we can pray. We can speak things into being that aren't if it's accordance with God's will. It's a great position. Our focus is not on the devil and the darkness, this world and its rulers, but our focus is on the resurrected, ascended, glorified Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and on his resurrection power. That's what we stand in God's word, in accordance with that. If you think about it, spiritual warfare, it's not against power, is it? Well, maybe a little bit. But it's a struggle to maintain the truth. The power has been defeated. The evil power has been defeated, one day destroyed. Loosed for just a time, but we have power to overcome. But our struggle is to maintain the truth of who Christ is and who we are in him. I've got a quote from Ray Stedman here. And he talks about the belting one's waist was always a symbol of readiness to fight. You know, they would gird up their, some of them had skirts like kilts. You know, they had to kind of hike them up and buckle them in and so it wouldn't impede their fighting. But a readiness to fight. That is why Paul mentions this item of armor first. You cannot do battle until you have surrounded yourself with the belt of truth. What does this mean in practical everyday terms? Simply this: when you are threatened by discouragement, depression, spiritual apathy, coldness, similar moods, you fight back by remembering that you first became a Christian by surrounding yourself with truth. You remind yourself that in coming to Jesus, you found the truth behind all things. You found the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the secret of the universe, the final reality. Amen. So stand firm in God's word and truth. It's like having spikes. And actually, Roman soldiers had spiked sandals. Did you know that, Janie?
Yes.
Do you have a pair of spiked sandals?
No.
We got to get some of those. I saw a pair. That's pretty cool. I don't know why they would fight in sandals, though. You know, they probably had some other things. But holding God's ground, his truth, digging in, not being moved. So how are we doing staying strong? Staying firm, holding that line, not giving away ground. You know, when we face our adversary, like say with temptation, okay? He's tempting us with something. He's attacking us personally. He's reminding us of past failures or present insecurities. I think we all kind of can relate to that in some way. You know, on any given day, the enemy's just doing those whispers, and it might be something like this. Go ahead and do it. It's not sin. You don't need to repent for that. Or you're trapped, you're stuck, you're no good, you're not free. Or the church is impotent. She will never rise up. She will never be one. She will never be united. Now, his voice doesn't sound, you know, twangy and evil like maybe it sounded what I was doing. Sometimes it sounds like our own voice or a voice from our past. Very subtle, even persuasive. Do we believe the lies? Are we persuaded to give in? Or do we stand strong in the Lord? No, I am his and he is mine. He's got a plan for me. I shall not be moved. The need is for an immovable steadfastness in the Lord in the face of a relentless foe. Way back, Puritan Thomas Brooks said this. He alluded to the full armor of God when he wrote that Christ, the scripture, your own hearts, and Satan's devices are the four prime things that should be first and foremost studied and searched. If any cast off the study of these, they cannot be safe here or happy hereafter. He says, it's my work as a Christian, but much more as I am a watchman, to do my best to discover the fullness of Christ, the emptiness of the creature, and the snares of the great deceiver. Thomas Brooks. How are we standing? Well, standing firm also means taking up the sword, right? The sword of the Spirit. The word of God. Declaring the word of the Lord. Remember 2 weeks ago? I am forgiven. I am clean. I am his masterpiece. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God will give me a way out from any temptation. And then if you think about it with a renewed mind, and even prophetically with Scripture, from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is on Christ's church. Because the Lord has anointed her to bring good news to the poor. He has sent her to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and bring freedom to the prisoners. That's where I want to stand. Let's stand there together as well and believe it. It's about fully surrendering so that we can stand, submitting to God. And what is our greatest weapon? Well, that surrender, that standing, it's saying yes to Jesus. All that you've done for me, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to fight this battle. It's your battle, Lord. I'm going to bite my tongue. I'm going to love. I'm going to surrender to you, submit myself to you, saying yes to Jesus. It's holding a watch post, holding a critical position. There is an alarm sounding in the heavenly realms, like blow the trumpet in Zion, that song we sang earlier. The Lord is uttering his voice that we're to carry out his word. Now, David carried out God's word in one passage that I was going to have us read earlier but didn't. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. David declares the word of the Lord to the giant, and then he advances on him. David says to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into my hands." And that's when David ran quickly to the battle line, slung one stone, and it sunk into his forehead. And the giant fell. How inspiring that that young boy won that battle, became a great king. And Saul would continue to learn lessons from this young boy. Also trying to kill him, but David taught him well. So let us be strong. Let us put on the full armor of God. Let us stand. Remember whose armor it is. It is not our armor. It's God's armor. Don't miss that. We do live in a world that is hostile. We don't need to worry about what we're to say to the devil. But when we bow and say yes to Jesus and commit to doing his word, what it has to say, at that very moment, we become a fortress against the enemy. That is our greatest weapon. Ephesians 1:19, "And knowing what is the surpassing greatness of God's power and the working of the strength of his might, his resurrection power." I have one last little quote from St. Ignatius in his epistle to Polycarp. I don't know if that's first or second century. He says this, "Please the captain under whom ye serve, from whom also ye shall receive your wages. Let none of you be found a deserter. Let your baptism abide as your shield, your faith as your helmets, your love as your spear, your patience as your whole armor. Let your good works be your savings, that you may receive what is justly to your credit." Let us please the captain under whom we serve. For the battle is the Lord's and we have the victory. I'd like us to respond. One more thing. How we do this too is praying in the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a strong connection at the end. I have handouts, praying on the armor of God from Navigators, and it gives little prayer prompts connected to the pieces of the armor. So you can take those if you want. But our response is from the back of the hymnal, 990. We'll just recite this together, and then we'll close out our service. Are you ready? All right, together. Let us praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to the help of his people and has set them free. He has provided for us a mighty Savior, a descendant of his servant David. He promised through his holy prophets long ago that he would save us from our enemies, from the power of all those who hate us. He said he would show mercy to our ancestors and remember his sacred covenant. With a solemn oath to our ancestor Abraham, he promised to rescue us from our enemies and allow us to serve him without fear so that we might be holy and righteous before him all the days of our life. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. You will go ahead of the Lord to prepare his road for him, to tell his people that they will be saved by having their sins forgiven. Our God is merciful and tender. He will cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us and to shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death, to guide our steps into the path of peace. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for gathering us together, for calling us to be the stewards of your earth, of your place, of your people. Help us, Lord, help our hearts to be into exactly what you are doing. You wish us to become the image of your Son and faithful to what you have called us to. We thank you for that, Lord. I seem to repeat myself a lot with thank yous. What else is there, Lord? As we bring our gifts, whatever the Lord has directed us, we just give thanks to you, O Lord, for the opportunity to even be able to do such a thing. And we thank you for that privilege. Let us continue with our gifts and with our doxology. Amen.
Thank you.
receive the benediction and spend some time fellowshipping together, lots of goodies and drinks downstairs. But now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.